Areena.
Hi everybody, it's All Points North podcast time when we take a peek behind the curtain about life in Finland. I'm Mark Odom. I have to say, the news these days has been kind of a drag, but I hope this episode can help. Apart from the conflict in the Middle East and many other worries around the world, Finland's economic and job market struggles continue, even though there have been tiny glimpses of improvement. Now, many experts say there are risks that developments in the Middle East might derail the recovery. Against this backdrop, the Finnish Institute of Occupational Health recently reported that about a quarter of Finns suffer from a concerning level of occupational burnout symptoms, saying that the problem has grown slightly since last year. At the same time, it found that people are also increasingly concerned about the future of their jobs. But the study only examined Finnish workers, so I asked the researchers how people with immigrant backgrounds might be feeling at work. Research professor Jari Hakkanen told me by email that the Institute has not measured the well-being of immigrant workers in quite some time, but he added that he thinks that sort of research is important and should be funded. However, these issues have been examined to some extent in the fairly recent past. A policy brief based on Finnish research, published in 2024, noted that migrants and racial minorities in Finland experienced worse mental well-being than the general population. As you may have heard on one of my podcasts last autumn, people with international backgrounds are also less likely to seek out help for their mental health. On top of that, the brief noted that, I'm quoting here, recent government reforms to increase short-term employment contracts, shorten the permitted unemployment period for non-EU residents, and increase income limits for residence permits heighten migrants' persistent insecurity about work and earnings. It said the current situation would likely end up worsening immigrants' overall mental well-being. Sorry for the long explanation. I just wanted to lay out what we know and don't know about the situation. To someone unfamiliar about the condition, the term occupational burnout might sound like a form of depression, but actually, at its core, burnout is a stress-related syndrome. The Institute says working life in Finland is facing challenges caused by four negative trends. Workloads have increased, resources have declined, expectations for the future have become more uncertain, and at the same time, workers are increasingly getting burnt out. Earlier this week, we asked you, our audience, to recount your experiences with occupational burnout. It turns out that you know quite a bit about it. A mechanical engineer named Artem shared his story about dealing with occupational burnout. He said that at first things went well, but then a combination of his company's reorganization and being given too many responsibilities put him under too much pressure.
For a long time, I was motivated and tried to support the team and keep project moving forward. However, several factors contributed to burnout for me. The main ones were continuous increase of responsibility without corresponding changes in role definition. For example, salary increase or at least sense of growth. Over time, I started to notice typical symptoms of burnout: constant mental fatigue, difficulty recovering after work. I was unable to concentrate on my activities, and I gained some weight due to stress. Eventually, I realized that continuing in same environment would not be suitable for my health and my career. I decided to change jobs and move to a new role in another organization, which helped me to step out of situation and regain balance.
Meanwhile, Graham Wood, who's been in Finland for decades, pointed out that sometimes simply nearing retirement age can be a burnout risk factor.
I think you need to consider why a lot of people go on early retirement, and this is often because people feel burnt out. Older employers are certainly isolated. They're seen often as an inconvenience by employers, And these employers are searching for the latest gimmick or trend, and they're often pushed by HR managers who've really been recruited because of their ideological disposition rather than any professional competence. And this is so much for a country that's supposed to espouse Nordic equality, yet the older demographic is treated with absolutely utter contempt. If you go to a meeting or open your mouth, often the younger employees will roll back their eyes and sigh. But this was not always the case. Now, once experience and a different perspective were seen as insightful. Yet today, if you don't conform to the social media or organisational social bubbles, then you're often ostracised and seen as an inconvenience. And I'm afraid these are the key characteristics behind the phenomenon of burnout in Finland today.
That was the strong opinion of listener Graham Wood from the UK, who moved to Finland in the 80s and currently lives in Helsinki. Artem's and Graham's experiences sound difficult, but Finland has laws in place to ensure that employees have a way of addressing problems at work. That's what occupational health psychologist, coach, and work counselor Mia Rautiainen explained to me. She works for the private healthcare firm Mehiläinen and has been helping people with burnout for more than a quarter of a century.
If a person burns out at work, that means that there's something about the work, maybe work pace, workload, or maybe it has to do with know-how or how it's structured, that is not working in a way that we're able to do it efficiently and be able to have feelings of workflow and achievement, and it starts to maybe eat at you. Sometimes they can be really clear what these factors are. It can be very clearly like there's not enough staff. We're under-resourced. So you can see that there's just too much workload. And in a way, that's one of those easier fixed and also easier explained. But many times it has a lot to do with, I often explain it as a ball of yarn where you start to tug and there's many facets and there might be many different colored yarns together. Mm-hmm. And it builds up over a long period of time. And it has to do with feelings of accomplishment, feedback, how I feel I'm being taken, how much psychological safety I have, the kind of rapport I have with my manager or team.
Mia says there are three factors that contribute to burnout.
It has the kind of exhaustion and tiredness that doesn't go away even if you rest. You wake up tired. You take the whole weekend, but you don't recuperate. So it can be very physiological. Many times in that state, it's kind of hard to tell. Is it psychological? Is it physiological? And then the second factor is like cynicism or becoming just over frustrated and feeling that work no longer has meaning and that you're not able to influence the factors that are making you feel unwell or dissatisfied. And the third one is very personal. It starts to eat at your professional self-esteem. So you feel that I don't have enough to give. Am I the right person for this job? Am I like this idea that I was better before and now I feel like I'm not performing? And many times it's not factual. You're not actually performing differently, but you feel that you have less to give. So the whole feedback loop about what I'm giving and what I'm getting kind of gets skewed, and it's colored by how we feel about it.
Before looking into what burnout really is, I assumed it was some kind of depression or exhaustion. But again, it's a stress-related syndrome. For lack of a better word, it's burnout from long-term stress. And if left unaddressed, it can cause even more problems.
You can think about it as like long-term stress that becomes chronic stress. Yeah. That can turn into depression.
Right. And it can the effects of that, because you just get burnt out from the stress always kind of needling at you and you can't relax on the weekend or
and then we kind of go into this worry state, and in a way it is very physiological, because if we think about what happens in our brains is we get caught up in, well, I have to do something about this, nothing is changing, and you're constantly in the same thoughts, so you're getting less like stimulus, other kinds of thoughts, you're in this very like closed loop,
right?
And it starts to feed on itself.
Yeah. And then you could imagine that the employee who's in this loop would be kind of maybe apprehensive about bringing it up at work.
Yeah, because you feel like I'm the problem. And you also kind of become depersonalized a little bit. Uh-huh. So you don't feel like you're yourself. You're not in yourself. And these concepts are kind of get harder to grasp at. So you're not even able to conceptualize it or verbalize it that well.
Right.
Like what's going on with me? You're just kind of like in the mist or in a tunnel.
Should you be afraid as an employee to bring it up? Or do you risk it losing your job?
I think that's a really good question, especially since we're doing this in English and maybe many of our listeners are foreigners in Finland who don't know the system that well. And I think that's a fear that many people have and they do bring up. In Finland, employers have it because it's a legal requirement. And of course, you have to provide services and there's a minimum base for what these services can be. Of course, you want people to be well at work because then they perform well. You're able to, you know, get work done and meet the goals of whatever the goals are for whichever company or task. It is illegal to fire someone due to medical reasons or due to sick leave.
Mia says that even though people suffering burnout may feel hopeless or even oblivious about their circle of stress, there are relatively easy ways to make things better. And she says it's better for everyone concerned to at least try to improve things.
And it is normal practice, and it should be normal practice to bring these up, because if something's going wrong with the work, say your printer isn't working, you'd bring it up. I don't have the tools. I need something to get this work done. And if it's something that is really personal, like your own psychological state, that feels hard to bring up, but it is a tool that's being used to get work done.
Right.
So you do want to be like, hey, we need to do something. And many times the fixes are very easy. They're temporary, especially if you catch burnout early enough. They're not massive operations. They're kind of like cutting down work time for a little bit, taking a few days off, like decreasing workload for a couple weeks. They can be very simple arrangements.
But when does the employer, when is it their responsibility to change things? Or is there a role that they play in changing it?
I think it's always. I think it's always everybody's responsibility. And the way it's written in Finnish law is that raising the concerns that there's something that needs to be fixed can be either the employee themselves can notify, like, I'm not feeling as well as I should to perform. It can be a colleague that's worried, because usually the person who burns out is the last person who notices. At Work Health, our job is to work with work conditions and supervisors and workers and HR in order to get people healed. Mm. And everyone does recuperate from it. It's not like a terminal diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And as long as changes are being made, as long as things don't stay stagnant, I haven't seen many cases where people haven't recovered.
That hopeful message came from occupational health psychologist Mia Rautiainen from the private healthcare firm Mehilainen. And if you're wondering why her English is kind of like mine, we both happen to grow up in neighboring towns in New England. It's a small world. Anyway, according to private healthcare firm Terveystalo, occupational healthcare services cover approximately 1.9 million working-age people in Finland. Employers pay around 80% of those costs, while workers pay the remaining roughly 20%. A couple of years ago, Terveystalo estimated that just a single worker's sick day costs society an average of 370 euros, adding that it expected that sum to rise. It also found that sick leaves cost employers up to 3 billion euros per year. Meanwhile, social security agency Kela recently reported that employee sick leave and work incapacity due to mental health reasons alone cause more than 1 billion euros in losses to society every year. However, Terveystalo found that when employees received low threshold support and access to brief psychotherapy as part of their occupational health, companies saw a 40% reduction in sick leave caused by mental health issues. So in other words, it pays off both companies and the country as a whole to make sure employees are doing well. But what if you're one of the nearly 300,000 people in Finland who doesn't have a job? Because there's something called job search burnout, too, and there's a good deal of research on the topic. Given Finland's dismal 10% unemployment rate, it isn't surprising that people are having a hard time finding work these days. We at APN regularly hear from people who say they send out hundreds of job applications in a single month, and that landing a new job can seem impossible. Even in ideal situations, job seeking can be a soul-crushing task. It has the potential of becoming a cruel circle of applying, interviewing, and sometimes endless rejection. At its worst, job search burnout can result in physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion. It can cause severe fatigue, cynicism, and loss of motivation. On our website, one of our audience members with the handle Adrian Kivi shared their experiences with job search troubles. We used AI-generated voices to read website comments aloud.
I have been burned out by job searches twice, and now during this job shortage in Finland, I am beyond exhausted. Almost 2 years without a job. This is definitely having an effect on my mental health.
Website commenter with the handle Frustrated Multitasker definitely seems frustrated by her burnout and other pressures in Finland.
Burnout from sending hundreds of job applications. No matter how well the job description and requirements match my skills, the result is usually the same, no response or just another rejection email. Burnout from seeing posts and comments that constantly point to immigrants as the main or only problem. Burnout from living a life where you are simply trying to get by while hoping to build a better one. But as the days pass, it sometimes feels like things are only getting worse. Burnout from being a job seeker, a Finnish language learner, and a full-time mom and wife at the same time. And that's not even counting the other external factors that affect our well-being.
I reached out to Sagan Rossi, who is a professional coach as well as a survivor of occupational burnout. Sagan estimates that around 20% of their foreign clients suffer from job seekers' burnout. Sagan explained that when they first started offering pro bono coaching service to unemployed job seekers a couple of years ago, the term burnout did not come up very often. But it's a different story these days.
There were signs of it, like people saying, I'm struggling with these clients, like I feel tired and I feel exhausted and I feel lost and I don't really know what to do. And I want to get out of this job search situation. But it actually, the word burnout has been coming into my forums lately. And the majority of the people I work with actually are unemployed. They're in a job seeking situation here in Finland and they feel burned out by this.
Sagan explained that job search burnout symptoms are similar to other forms of burnout. It's usually triggered by constant efforts to finally land a job. That involves searching job listings and career platform LinkedIn and sometimes sending out hundreds of applications for positions they aren't really interested in doing in the first place.
Job seekers are some of the busiest people I know. You know, they're out there scanning job boards all the time. They're tailoring their CVs for each application, preparing the interviews, interviewing. Then there's countless networking events. All the time they spend creating content for LinkedIn, so you know they stay visible. The upskilling, the reskilling, you know, and on top of all this, you know, many of them are caretakers too. So I think this all kind of plays into how burnout happens, that, you know, there's this uncertainty, there's loneliness, there's, you know, societal beliefs, there's biases, there's unskilled labor, and there's a lack of support out there.
Sagan mentioned unseen labor, which refers to essential work that gets done but doesn't receive attention or acknowledgement. And like the coach says, job seekers do work very hard, but until they get hired, that work is virtually invisible. That can take a toll after a while. And an unemployed job seeker can't exactly ask for time off from work. What can they do? Sagan says those people should give themselves a break.
Because they don't feel that they have this real work, they feel very guilty about giving themselves some time off or a little break. So that's where I'm coming to, is like this topic of guilt and sometimes worthlessness. It comes up and it even perpetuates this thing to do more, right? That they want to just keep doing more and more and more because they think it's going to help. So that's where I'm coming back to is, you know, ask yourself, what can I let go of, and give yourself permission to not fill your days with these activities just to kind of prove your worth to who? Who are you proving your worth to? You know, there's a lot of that.
I've heard many job seekers saying that they fill out hundreds of applications a month, but is that worthwhile?
I would estimate that roughly 90% of people I speak with say they want a job that is meaningful. And yet they're applying to all these, you know, jobs because very understandably, they're in a tough economic situation. And yet if you ask them, what does meaningful mean to you? They struggle to answer that question. So my tip for slowing down here is to reflect on that very question. What does meaningful mean to you? And then use that as the guiding star to be more considered in your application approach. Give yourself a little break. Obviously, this approach might not work for everyone. If you're not in burnout and you're okay doing hundreds of applications a month, great. Keep doing what you need to do. But if you are in burnout, really consider going back to this meaning, slowing down and taking a more considered approach. And again, the point is when you're in burnout, doing more and applying yourself more and putting yourself out there more, it might actually be doing you more harm than it's good.
That was career and executive coach Sagan Rossi, who's based in Espoo. Sagan's company is called North Spark Coaching and Consulting. Before we wrap up this part of the podcast, Sagan wanted to let the audience know that while unemployed job seekers may not have occupational health services to ask for help, it is still available. People can always ask their health care provider for guidance about getting mental health support. At the same time, Mieli, Mental Health Finland, has a crisis helpline that offers assistance to people who need it. Sagan said the helpline is there to offer guidance for all kinds of reasons. Mieli's crisis helpline is 09-25-25-0116. It offers support in English on Monday afternoons and from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays. And now for a quick roundup of stories that have been making headlines in Finland this week. The rise in oil prices caused by the war in Iran has led national airline Finnair and ferry firm Tallink to raise their ticket prices. The crisis has also led to higher prices at the pump, with some Finnish motorists in border areas choosing to fill up their tanks in Sweden. The latest youth barometer was published this week, and the report painted an alarming picture of the pressures facing teenagers and young adults in Finland. This year's results found that young people's satisfaction with their lives is at a historic low, with just a third of respondents rating their life satisfaction at 9 or 10 points on a scale of 10, down from half a decade ago. This week also saw a brewing debate about homeschooling after the head of the Finnish Security and Intelligence Service suggested that making kids go to school would help combat radicalization. However, Education Minister Anders Adlercreutz said Finland is unlikely to introduce a ban on homeschooling. Staying with schools this week, authorities in Vantaa announced that wearing a face covering for religious reasons would no longer be allowed in the city's schools. The move follows a long debate over the wearing of Islamic face coverings in Finnish classrooms. And finally, if you found yourself clearing your throat a lot more this past week, you're not the only one. Finland's air quality was rated as poor in many parts of the country due to a combination of factors, including increased street dust from melting snow, the start of the pollen season, and high levels of fine particulate matter blowing in from Eastern Europe. Well, the weekend's upon us, and now that we're about halfway through March, spring weather's starting to make appearances around the country. I just noticed an old movie on Yle Arena that I haven't seen since it came out in 1983. It's the Cold War adventure thriller War Games. stars a young Matthew Broderick as a computer hacker who accidentally starts World War III. That was a long show. Thanks for hanging in with me. I also want to thank our audio engineer, Pasi Ilka, today's guests, and to you, our audience, for continuing to listen and contribute to the show. Hope to see you again here soon. Have a good one. Bye-bye.